Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 449th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is last-minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Use promo code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 449 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one goes out to my son, who's turns 18 on Friday. Can you believe that? 18 years old. Gumby can't believe it. Gumby remembers him when he was just a wee little boy, probably in kindergarten or something, when Gumby and I first hung out online. But anyhow, this goes out to my son, Adam. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, but I'm not chalky anymore. If you listened to the last episode, you will see I'm in on a bunch of dogs this week. Maybe it's because Gumby pulled ahead of me in our yearly standings and I'm getting desperate. I think I need to claw my way back, but more than likely it's because we think there's still a lot of value in the underdogs on this year card. And that would be UFC 295. So yesterday was our prelims, all eight fights we broke down. We disagreed on a couple of them. So listen in, see if you agree with mom or dad on what side you take. Let's bring in the mom of the show. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I was wondering if I was mom or dad. I'm the mom. Okay. Yeah.
You're the mom.
All right. I'll allow it. Yeah.
You're cuter, are you not?
There's lots of, I mean, is that the criteria? And you know, yeah. I mean, I guess if that's the criteria, the dreamy eyes, then yeah, I'll take that.
Gumby's
I don't even remember. I don't even remember the question anymore. What was the question?
We were talking about the lines, the amazing.
Oh yeah,
lines.
They're good. Yeah, cool.
Well, there you go. Wow, thank God you remembered what the question was, because that was like a winning answer for sure. You happy with your picks for the prelims, Gumby?
Yeah, the only I keep saying the only fight on that prelim card that I'm still like, I still just keep looking at it and being like, do I know anything about how this fight will go? Is that Jared Gordon versus Marco Madsen fight? Like, very clearly, like, Marco Madsen could just struggle with the wrestling and get pieced up, or maybe not even shoot enough takedowns, just go with, like, weird, because he's a body lock guy, and then, right. Or he could hit three takedowns and be on top for 14 minutes. I have no idea, so,
Well, good.
Other than that,
we'll find. Those odds are fairly close, minus 175. We were both, well, I won't tell you who we're in on. Forget that.
Listen
to yesterday's episode. Listen to yesterday's episode, of course. All right, we're going with the main card today after I get back to the correct screen, unless there's any other orders of business. I know I have a question for you. My wife is listening to Christmas music, Gumby. Is that already? Is that a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you?
That's too a thumbs early? Down. I mean, any time is too early for Christmas music.
Okay, well, there you go. The Grinch has spoken.
That's how I feel about the season.
Because it was kind of freezing rain today, so I think I was close enough to snow for her to have an excuse, right?
Gross. I think they said it's supposed to snow around these parts tomorrow.
There you go. And you make fun of us Canadians all the time, and really, your weather's not much better at all. So, all right. We are talking about UFC 295. Hopefully the weather is fine in New York City this Saturday for you people attending the show. Madison Square Gardens is the spot. November the 11th is the day. New York City, New York is the place. And UFC 295, Prochazka versus Pereira is the event. Two title fights. Well, one and a half title fights. Top of the card. And then fun fights. I would say the rest of the main card is filled with fun fights. Maybe the third fight from the top, I guess, is pay-per-view worthy. The bottom two aren't really pay-per-view worthy, but they're fun for us at the very least.
I think BSD and Frivola is pay-per-view worthy.
Yeah. You think so? You think BSD is up to that level? He is in our hearts, but
I mean, I have him ranked So I know I know there's still not a number next to his name for some people, right? But I've got him ranked. That's a top 15 lightweight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And all that matters is Gumby's, how you are in Gumby's eyes anyhow. So I agree with that. All right, let's jump into it, shall we? Let's not waste any time because we're not just giving you the picks for these. We're going to give you our fancy dancy picks at the end of the show that we killed on last week. Boy, let me tell you, locks, dogs, props, and parlays, right? We killed it.
I got a nice push.
You got a push. 0-2 with one draw or a push. I was 0-3. All right, let's start off with this is pay-per-view, so 10 p.m. Eastern start time. We're back to the normal start times. We're back into North America here. Featherweights, Diego Lopez versus Pat Sabatini. Who are we telling you about first? Who is the underdog here? It would be Mr. Lopez. He's 22-6, 8 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 1-1 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last four. Won his last fight via submission, 0-1 in Contender Series. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at bantamweight, 2012 Pro MMA debut. 3 inches height, 2 inches reach over Sabatini. 4 years younger. Negative strike differential. He's been outstruck in the UFC by minus 2.8 strikes per minute. He's at plus 100, even money. Sabatini, 18-4, 2 knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 5-1 in the UFC, won his last fight via submission. Regional champion, 1-0 in pro grappling. Better striking stats, better grappling stats than Lopez. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.6 strikes per minute, minus 125. All right, I kick off the prelims. I'm going with Sabatini. I have more faith in Pat Sabatini and his wrestling to get the job done in this fight. Also, at least statistically, he's a better striker than Lopez, even though Lopez definitely brings more power with the strikes. But so give me Sabatini here.
You ready for me to do something unpredictable?
I'm picking Lopes.
I'm picking against the Daniel Gracie guy.
Yeah, wow. I thought I was safe with my pick.
And I love Pat Sabatini. Like, don't get this twisted. And I think I faded Lopez in his last fight too. And like, he's just so sharp on the ground. The more and more I watch his jujitsu, like I gave a cop out answer when I was on VSiN this last week. They asked me, you know, who you got in this fight, and I said, I think I'll take the over, just because I was like, I don't think I can come up with who I thought was going to win the fight.
It's a Yanni pick.
Yeah. it's like just a fight I don't love the matchup on, and I can't get a good read on it. But Lopez's jiu-jitsu is just so sick, and we've seen Sabatini put his arm in bad places and get caught in bad situations. And like, he goes for stuff too, but he's a much more safe grappler. But I don't know that that matters against Lopez. Lopez creates angles and he gets after it. And man, did he look good against, what was it, Avloyev? Movsar Avloyev. Like, and I think he can crack on the feet too. Like you said, the striking stats aren't there. But I think like stylistically, I think he's a better striker. So yeah, and as much as it pains me to pick against the John Marquez guy, because I hate picking against John Marquez guys, I am going to go with Lopez here, kind of surprising myself with it.
He's got the size and the youth as well. We should swap picks, I think, Gumby.
I think we're doing a weird thing here where I take like Friday. Young guys and who aren't from my favorite gym, and you just, you know, Homer my favorite gym. So let's do that all night.
Well, we did a body swap, I think, here. If only I could do that. All right, let's move on. Gumby's as big as Randy Couture, for God's sake. So, all right, that's a Discord joke. All right, let's go to lightweight, shall we? Matt Frivola versus Benoit Saint-Denis. We kind of like Matt Frivola as well, don't we? I was going to say
I love Matt Frivola. Yeah.
We like Frivola too. Too bad he's going to get steamrolled here. He is the steamroller. He's 11-3-1, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 5-3-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights. Before that, he lost 2 straight. All 3 of his wins have come via knockout or TKO over his last 3. Is not lost since June of 2021. Oh, the halcyon days of June 2021. 1-0 contender series, 1-0 on World Series of Fighting. He's outstruck his contender series and UFC opponents by 0.16 strikes a minute. So pretty much a wash here. There in the striking department, he's at plus 187 on the betting boards. Benoit Saint-Denis, God of War. They have his nicknames in English now on Wikipedia, which is incorrect. Is Guerra de... What is this? How do you say it in French again? I should know this. I'm Canadian. Do you remember?
Deals? Is it Deals?
I can't remember.
D-U-E-S, I believe. Deuce.
Okay. Guerra de Deuce? or something like that. Is that it?
That sounds right.
Or you can call him BSD, which I refuse to call him. He's the God of War. He is 12-1 with one no contest, 3 knockouts, 9 submissions. He has finished everyone. He owes his rounds. You gonna laugh or not?
I smirked.
Okay, good. I have my spreadsheet open. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear the smirk. All right. He's never been finishing the fight himself, BSD. If you saw the one fight he lost, he should have been finished, but he was not. He's 4-1 in the UFC. After losing that debut, he's won 4 straight fights, all via finish, because he's finished everyone. He's not lost since October of 2021. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. Regional champion, 2-inch height, 2 inches of reach, 5 years younger than Frawalla. More active landing strikes, better grappling stats. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.32, minus 225. Tell everyone why Benoit St. Denis is the pick.
Look, he went into grappling Thiago Moises, right? Like, he chose to grapple with Thiago Moises and did great. Like didn't do good, didn't hold his own, did great. So if he can grapple there, if he can wrestle and take down and control Thiago Moises, I mean, like, I'm convinced he could do it to just about any lightweight on the planet, you know, apart from maybe the Armin Sakurians of the world. And I'd even give him a good chance against, like, the Matthews Gamrots of the world. Like, I think he can beat all of those guys with his grappling. So Matt Frawalla, you know, good power puncher. You know, we've seen him throw some bombs once in a while. But, like, you know, he does like to mix in the wrestling occasionally. I think that's probably a detriment to him here. Like, that he's a guy who likes to live in Benoit St. Denis' realm. And I think Benoit St. Denis is just going to take him down when he wants to. And I think he can probably get the better end of a lot of striking. Plus, like, granite chin. Not going to get knocked out. So, yeah, Benoit St. Denis here.
Those watching us on YouTube, I wasn't just shaking my head to agree with Gumby to be nice. I agree with everything he was saying. We do have a YouTube channel. We seem to never mention that. MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Give us a subscribe. Check us out. Is Benoit St. Denis going to break our hearts someday, Gumby?
I mean, probably. I mean, it's lightweight, right? Like, if he's running through lightweight unscathed, that'd be pretty wild. So, like, yeah. Probably at some point.
Sad. Gumby's a realist, but them's the breaks. All right, I'm going to tell you about DraftKings. Then we're going to move on. Mark your calendars, because November 11th is going to be huge. Yuri Prochazka versus Alex Pereira. They're going to face off during UFC 295, but only one fighter will leave with the belt. Secure your victory with unbeatable offers on DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers strike now to get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5. Gumby, do you have a line that you like on the DraftKings Sportsbook?
I mean, I'm going to tell you about a line that I really like in the DraftKings Sportsbook when we get to our props.
Yep. Okay, hold off.
There's a little teaser.
All right, a teaser. Get in on the UFC 295 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the app now and use code SGP. New customers get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5. That's code SGP on your DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resorts, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Big breath, and we're going to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Then we're going to tell you about some more MMA picks. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. They got MMA as well, UFC. They should mention that. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, help us cash in. Go.
Benoit St. Denis has got his fantasy points listed as a possible higher or lower, and it's set at 66.5, I saw last time. So I definitely like the higher than on Benoit St. Denis' fantasy points.
There you go. Watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. So Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right. We already did the Frawalla. We're going to the third from the top. Women's strawweights, Mackenzie Dern versus Jessica Andrade. Yes, Jessica Andrade back again. All right, Andrash, Bete Estasa is the nickname. Gumby?
Pile driver.
Correct. 24-12, 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. Been knocked out 5 times, submitted 4 times. 15-10 in the UFC. Used to be the champion of the world. She's lost 3 straight fights. Before that, she won 3 straight fights. All of her losses have come via finish, all the last 3 losses. Used to fight at flyweight and bantamweight. 2011 pro MMA debut. A positive strike differential, plus 1.34. Better striking stats, better grappling stats than Dern. And she's twice more active landing strikes than Dern is. And she's at plus 162. Dern, 13-3 with 7 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 8-3 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss, win. That's how she's gone over her last 4. She's missed weight 3 times. But that was actually many years ago. And she seems to have that under control now. Used to fight at flyweight. Multiple world championships in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. 3 inches height, 1 inch of reach on Andrade, 2 years younger. Dern's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.73 strikes per minute, minus 188. I told you I'm not chalks anymore. I'm going dog. Ooh. Jessica Andrade, a surprise pick.
You're taking an old fighter on a 3-fight losing streak and being finished in all of them.
I don't know if Andrade is and washed or not, but Dern still can't strike. Can't take people down very well. Either her wrestling.
She's gotten better at that. We got to give her a little credit at that. She's looked better in her last couple of fights on it. But
I think she's gonna have trouble being physical with Andrade, and she's can't handle her on the feet. So I think Andrade is worth a play at plus one here, unless she really is totally washed, wiped out. In that case, then I guess she's a fade going forward. But she's only lost really to fighters better than Dern over that 3-fight losing streak. So I'm rolling the dice.
So in terms of my pick here, I'm going to say she's washed. That's going to be my pick. I do think it's probably more of that. And you have to worry about the headspace of somebody who has fought 4 times already this year, has been finished in the last 3 of them. And she's like, hey, can I squeeze one more in there? I hate wherever her headspace is, because either she's saying it was a fluke, which is what she said about the Aaron Blanchfield fight. You might remember it. She said it was a fluke and that her chest was exposed, and that's why she didn't defend a rear naked choke. So either she's making excuses or it's a money grab, and neither of which is good for me. So I'm going with the she's cooked. But that being said, I hate the line here on Dern. It doesn't interest me at all. If this came in down in the negative 120s, negative 130s, you might see me get interested in it. But to your point, there's just a chance she goes in here and can't score a takedown. And if that's the case, she ain't winning this fight. She needs to be able to be a little bit more physical. And Andrade is notoriously hard to do that against, although she has been steamrolled by a couple of grapplers in a row, right? Blanchfield, Tatiana Suarez both got her. Granted, they're much better wrestlers than Dern, but I think Dern's got enough here that she gets it done. Just not enough for me to pull the trigger at, what do you say, negative 188?
Minus 188. Yep.
Yeah, that's not tempting in the slightest to me. I think this fight is, look for a prop or just straight up pass.
All right. So Dern is your official pick, though. So, all right. Let's go to one of the title fights, kind of. It's interim heavier title fight. It should be further. I bet they fight again before Jones fights. Whoever wins this.
I think they fight Jailton.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. All right. This is for the interim heavyweight championship. Sergey Pavlovich versus Tom Aspinall. Pavlovich, 18-1 with 15 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 6-1 in the UFC. He's won 6 straight all via knockout or TKO. He's not lost since November of 2018. Regional champion. Also a Wushu Sanda champion. 6 inches of reach on Aspinall because he has the highest ape index in the UFC. That's arm to body proportion. The man's got to reach. More active landing strikes than Aspinall. He's got a positive strike differential of plus 4.39 strikes per minute. He's at plus 100, even money on Pavlovich. Aspinall, 13-3, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 6-1 in the UFC, won his last fight via TKO. 1-0 as a pro boxer, 2 inches height on Pavlovich, better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he has outstruck his UFC opponents by plus 4.75 strikes per minute, minus 125. Go ahead.
I'm going with Tom Aspinall. I'm going to take the favorite here. I think For me, Sergey Pavlovich is a guy who I've had this question about since his UFC debut. Like, in his UFC debut, Alistair Overeem caught one of his kicks, took him down, bounced his head off the mat like it was a basketball. And since then, I've asked myself, is Pavlovich a complete fighter, or is he a damn good boxer who is going to have a ton of trouble if somebody takes him down? And since then, nobody has even really tried to take him down, right? Like Shamil Abdurakhimov did, I guess, if you want to count that. But like Curtis Blaydes could have been the guy to test that and let me know, like, oh, hey, his takedown defense is actually stellar. Don't fade him here. And what did Blaydes do? He shot like one takedown, but it was after he had already been cracked 17 times in like one of the lowest fight IQ moments of all time. So like, I'm going to go with Tom Aspinall saying he's the more complete fighter. I think his boxing can hang with Pavlovich for long enough, and his threat of the takedown is going to be dangerous enough. And if he gets him down, I think he's so dangerous on the mat. I mean, we saw him sub Alexander Volkov. We've seen his ground and pound look really good. We saw him sub my man, Andrei Arlovsky. Like, he has a ground game to speak of, and I don't know that I can say that of Pavlovich. I don't know that I can't say that of Pavlovich. But I don't know that I can either. So I'm going to go with Tom Aspinall, the more known commodity.
You know me, Gumby. I'm going with the dog because that's how I roll. Always going with dogs. This is a tough one, obviously, as the odds on the fight show. But I believe in Pavlovich's power and his half a foot of reach. Obviously, the grappling could be an issue, but I think he can catch Aspinall on the feet. So let's go with the dog. That's how I roll.
Always. You're always a dog guy.
All right, let's go to the main event. Light heavyweights, Yuri Prochazka versus Alex Pereira for the vacant. It's not vacant, actually, for the light heavyweight championship. It's not vacant, but the person who has the belt is not fighting in the fight.
No, it is vacant.
I don't think they stripped him of the belt.
They stripped Jamal Hill. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I heard he was going to be the champion until the fight takes place, and then he wasn't going to be champion.
Oh, okay. Sure. Then it's vacant then.
I know, but say it. This is a light heavyweight. He could end up the champion.
Yuri's still the champ.
It's true. All right, let's tell you about him first. Yuri Prochazka. Denisa is the nickname because he answered to that name in the gym once. So his name's Denisa. That's the origin of a lot of nicknames. He's 29-3-1, 25 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 3-0 in the UFC. Used to be the champion. 13 straight wins. 11 straight via finish. He's not fought since June of 2022. That was when he had the worst injury of all time, though. How is he back already, Dan?
I don't know.
No, you don't know. I guess hanging out in caves and glaciers and everything else he does heals you quick. He's not lost since December of 2015. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. I was going to say he probably doesn't have a mantle, but he probably only has that to have fireplace to heat wherever he lives, right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
or he doesn't need, he may not need heat. Who knows? All right. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. He also is a Muay Thai champion. So that mantle has got lots of stuff on it. He's got an inch of reach on Pereira, 5 years younger than him, more active landing strikes, better grappling stats. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.37 in the UFC. He's at +110. Pereira Poatan, hands of stone, 8-2 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 5-1 in the UFC. Used to fight at middleweight, won his last fight. Kickboxing champion. Perhaps you've heard he beat Israel Adesanya at kickboxing and MMA for that matter. Inch of height on Prochazka. Better striking stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.41 strikes a minute, -138. You know me, Gumby. I got to go dog.
You love the dog.
I'm going with Jury. Jury Prochazka. I hear he likes to be called Jury instead. I'm going with Yuri. Obviously, his injury, joking aside, whether how serious it was or not, him being off injured is a concern. But Pereira's used to being the big bully, the big guy in fights. Probably not going to be the case here. He's also not going to be the craziest, definitely not the more craziest wild man in the fight. That would be Prochazka for sure. And as he showed against Glover Teixeira, Prochazka has a little bit of grappling to fall back on if worse comes to worse. Break glass, in the case of emergency, break glass and pull out some grappling. So you got to like that he has that in his back pocket. Of course, insane power, 25 knockouts in 29 pro wins. So more complete fighter with insane power. Give me Prochazka at plus money, nonetheless.
I'm going Prochazka as well. I think, you know, to your point, I think we can worry about Prochazka's shoulder, but also can we worry about Paeta's chin?
Yep.
Because he did get knocked icy cold by Izzy Adesanya. And that fight's not all that long ago, you know, so like, you know, completely discounting that he might have a chin that is hittable. And yeah, Jan didn't hit him, but like, Jan also seemed like he was having a little bit of trouble pulling the trigger there. So I also like Jiří just because of how unconventional he is. I think the fact that he throws spinning stuff and he comes at you from weird angles, we've seen guys who do things in a slightly weirder way mess with really technical strikers. You know, like, I mean, like, use the Francis Ngannou versus Tyson Fury fight as an example. Francis did not fight like a boxer fights, and that gave Tyson a lot of trouble in his own right. I mean, obviously, he did good boxing as well, but he did some unconventional boxing things, and Tyson Fury was ready for a super technical boxer because those are the types of things he faces. And Paeta has recently fought very technical people. I mean, you're Jan Blachowicz, you know, maybe a little bit less technical, but his two fights before that were against Izzy Adesanya, doing technical kickboxing-ass things. Jiří Prochazka is a wild man, and he will hit you from a very weird angle and knock you silly. So, yeah, I agree with you. I like Jiří Prochazka here.
I would say he hits a lot harder than Izzy Adesanya as well.
I think so. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, especially up a weight class as well. So, yeah, there you go. That's our main card picks. Let me recap them, and then I'll tell you about a couple sponsors, and then we're going to give you our fancy plays of the day. So don't you go anywhere. We both have Prochazka. I have Pavlovich. He has Aspinall. He has Dern. I have Andrade. We both have Saint Denis. He has Lopez. I have Sabatini. All right. Now I'm going to tell you about Game Time. We both have Game Time. That's the spot to go if you need last minute tickets or just tickets in general, I like to say, because Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Right. Locks, dogs, parlays, props, all that fun stuff. I think it's your turn to kick off the proceedings, Gumby, is it not?
Yeah, I'll go first because I don't worry about you tailing any of these because I think we're on the different side of all of my favorite picks. So for my lock, I'm going to go the sexy Mexi. I'll take John Castaneda. I think the line is nice. I think his wrestling ability is nice. I think he just take down Kyung Ho Kang 700 times and wins this fight easily.
Bad pick, but I'll accept it. Minus 150. Okay. Didn't plan in advance, did I? No, I never do.
You didn't pick any favorites either, so this
that's another problem, isn't it? Rebecca, no, minus 600 favorite. I can't do that to you people. I usually like to do one that Gumby is in on too. All right, give me Steven Ursic at minus 175. That's a good number. Fighting a guy he's better than, and a guy on short notice as well in Alessandro Costa. So I've got Ursig -175. You have Castaneda -150.
Yeah, you'd like it fading a good short notice one. So for my dog, I'm going to go with another one you hate. Despite what we were just saying, it's an underdog you don't have. I'll take Tabitha Ricci. Tabitha Ricci is my favorite underdog of this week. I think she's going to bulldoze Lupi Godinez. I think her physicality is too much. I think her boxing is too much. Give me the baby shark.
Ay, ay, ay. Gumby going against all of my picks. I think he's doing it on purpose too here. All right. I try to pick ones that we're both in on, similar ones, because I'm more confident with those, but fine. You want to go against me in all your picks? Fine. Do that. All right. Let me see. Who do I like here?
I already know who you're going to pick. Is that funny?
Really? All right. Yeah. Tell the people.
No. You go ahead and say it, and I'll tell you if I'm right.
All right, fine. Slava Claus Borch.
Yes! +110, yeah.
He knows me so well. We've been married for so long here. It's been decades. Too easy. That's why. Yeah.
Going to write it hopefully, on a piece of paper and like hold it up as you said.
All of a sudden, he's David Blaine here. All right. Do you know my prop play? Because I don't. Hopefully, you know one for me.
Yeah, no, I got one for myself that I'm in on right now. I like the Yuri Prochazka versus Alexander Pajeda over a round and a half. I think with these two being big power punchers, everybody is overrating how quickly this fight will end. Because the thing is like they know it's a 5-round fight. Prochazka has shown in the past like at least some hesitation once in a while. Particularly, you know, coming back from an injury, I imagine he's going to, like, you know, show some level of reserve. Pajeda, technical kickboxer, probably going to feel him out for most of the first round. The idea that this goes at least 7.5 minutes, I don't think is too hard. And you can get that at, like, -140. So I'll take the over 1.5 on Prochazka and Pajeda, -140.
All right, -140. He's turning into a Yanni right before my eyes. All right, it's a Benoit Saint-Denis play. Do I want to take him via submission, Gumby, or do I just want to take him inside the distance? Via submission, +300. Inside the distance, -140 or something like that, I think it said. What do you think?
I have one of those in my Hungry Man.
Oh, okay. Saint-Denis via submission, +300. I'm rolling the dice.
And that's, we might as well get right to the Hungry Man Jog Superfan Parlay then, because the first leg of that is Benoit Saint-Denis by submission, +300. So remember, this is two picks, at least +1,000 odds. So you can get 10-1, two fights. And like I said, the first one, I like Benoit Saint-Denis by submission. I think he's going to take Frivola down a bunch. There's a chance he TKOs him, but I could also see Frivola just being too tough and rolling to his hands and knees and getting rear naked choke. So give me Benoit Saint-Denis by submission. And I'm going to pair that with, I'll take Jamal Pretty Boy Emmers. I'm not going to get too cute with it, but I am going to say inside the distance here. Cause I think Pazukia, you know, he's tough and whatnot, but I think he's going to be in a lot of bad positions, particularly on the ground over and over again. We talked about the over on, or the higher than rather on Jamal Emmers takedowns. So I'm going to take him inside the distance. That one's +250. So if you pair those two together, you're going to get 1,300 +1,300, 13-1.
All right, +1,300. All right, so Castaneda, Ursig are the locks. Ricci, Borshev are the dogs. The main event over 1.5 rounds. And Benoit Saint-Denis via submission are the props. And then the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay, BSD via submission, parlay that with Jamal Emmers inside the distance gets you +1,300. Boom. All right, we're out of here. We'll be back again on Sunday to count our money and recap. You can catch us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. You can catch us on Twitter X at SGPNMMA, at Gumby Vreeland, at Jeff Fox Writer. Instagram, I'm a Jeff Fox Writer as well. You can listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Gumby hosts that. This week, he interviews a couple of people off of the prelims of this here card, Joshua Van, who's not impressed by being fighting in MSG, and the sexy Mexi Daniel Castaneda. Get in my Discord, not my Discord, get in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com, enter my pick'em contest, read all my stuff, subscribe there, and everything else sports gambling related can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and our Patreon. Help us crush corporate gambling, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Gumby, go ahead. Do your thing.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the steamroller, Jeff Fox, and we We'll see you on Sunday.